Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
And away we go. Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Monday, September 28th, 2020. 15 and a half minutes past the hour here on WWGH Radio. Now, if there were any answers left over from hour number one, what bright-eyed and bushy-tailed means, we have three guesses already on this. Somebody said a rabbit, somebody said a squirrel, somebody said a cat. We don't really know what that bushy tail is all about or why a human being would even be bushy-tailed, but if you know, let me know. And have you had the new McDonald's pumpkin cream pies? We've heard one thumbs up this morning from a listener in regard to the pumpkin cream pies. What kind of cream is it? Do they put whipped cream in there? Is it some kind of custard? What's in those pumpkin cream pies, which apparently are new this year, have never been sold at McDonald's before? Or even if you haven't had one, what do you think it might be? 740-383-9944. And when is too early to put up the Halloween decorations? They're here at the studio. They are at home at this particular point. Up and running. It is Halloween everywhere. Oh, and we'll have our Halloween poems up here pretty soon on the station. That's something we do for literacy every Halloween. And boy, over the last 6.5 years, we have a lot of Halloween poems recorded now. If you're new to the station in the last year, what we do is during the month of October, from October 1st through November 1st, we have recorded several well-known people reading Halloween poems, and we do one an hour up through November 1st. So those will start on Thursday morning. Go ahead, caller.
Well, according to the Cambridge Dictionary, it's happy and eager, or feeling pleasure and happiness.
So that's what the whole phrase means, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Right.
But I don't understand.
It's a rabbit. The rabbit has big eyes and a bushy tail.
So the whole thing is really comparing human beings to a rabbit.
Yes, it's an idiom. Well, no, it's like it says, he jumps out of bed in the morning and he's wide awake. So,
bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Right.
Well, but
here's
what I don't understand about that whole phrasing, though, is what if you're awake but not cheerful? Because bright-eyed is awake.
Well, then you're not bright-eyed and bushy-tailed then.
Are you just bright-eyed?
Right. See, it's an idiom. If you go on the website and look for idioms, there's all kinds of idioms, and they're things that happen, actual things that happened a couple hundred years ago. Like one of them, for instance, why does a man walk on the street side, you know, away from the building, and puts the lady on the building side and the man on the street side when they walk down the street? You know what that goes back to? It's in old England.
Really?
That's when they used to throw the sanitary pots out of the window, and he didn't want to get splashed.
Well, I can see not wanting to be splashed. I can understand that. But you know what? Okay, so what is... Because nobody ever uses this term, because I think they think it's hard to pronounce, and nobody really knows the definition. What is a colloquialism?
Well, you got me.
I thought
idioms and get the definition on it.
I thought that bright-eyed and bushy-tailed would be a colloquialism, because I thought what that meant was that's a term that really has nothing to do with what it's talking about, but over time, it's just filtered its way into our language. I thought that's what a colloquialism was.
No, it's an idiom.
So it's an idiom.
Go on the Cambridge Dictionary, and you can look up all kind of idioms that... stitch in time saves nine, and they're all things that actually happen. Another one is, do you know why when you toast, like you toast with wine? That comes from old England in the pubs, when they used to put wine in a pewter cup. The wine and the pewter would mix together and become poison, but they would drop toast into the cup, and it would neutralize the acid, and you could drink it then.
Huh. Well, that's it. See,
they all have meaning.
They do have meaning, but are they okay? So, what would be the definition of an idiom?
Idiom is something that happened long ago and nobody knows today what it was, but it actually refers to something that actually happened.
Do you think the people writing these dictionaries might just be making this up?
Well, I don't know. The Cambridge Dictionary is an old dictionary. It goes back 100 years or more.
You know, it's confusing because those words, okay, obviously it's not a metaphor or a simile. We use those a lot.
Right.
But I don't know what the difference is between idiom and colloquialism.
You have to look up the definition.
Yeah.
It'll be in the dictionary.
So an idiom...
Or on the website, in the Wikipedia.
So an idiom is something that happened that does have a meaning. That there is a reason for it.
Yep.
So what's the reason...
They used to say, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. And that come from back when everybody used the same tub to wash in, and the baby was always the last one to be washed, and you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Well, I guess when it comes to bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, I don't... So it's just because we're comparing humans to rabbits?
I'm losing you.
Well, because if an idiom is something that happened at one point, and that's where it came from... I'm confused, even whenever this saying came about, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, were we just trying to compare rabbits to humans? Because no human was ever bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Now, the baby in the bathwater, I get. There could have been a time when, you know, you didn't just throw out the baby with the bathwater. Obviously, you didn't do that. But humans were never rabbits. So why is that an idiom? I don't know, why would we start comparing ourselves to humans or rabbits?
I don't know. It's just a saying that came by and somebody thought it was cute, I guess. So.
I guess. Well, see, that's why I thought it was more of a colloquialism, because I thought colloquialisms were words that really had no meaning, but we've used them so often that they just become part of the language. And I think we lost our caller there. I don't know if his phone went dead or our phone went dead. I don't know. Does anybody... idiom, honestly, is a term I have not heard a whole lot of. So what is an idiom and what is a colloquialism? I thought bright-eyed and bushy-tailed would have been a colloquialism. I really have no idea. 740-383-9944. But language is an interesting topic, to say the least. 740-383-9944. What does it all mean? Does anybody know? All right. Colloquialism versus idiom. Colloquialism is a weird word in and of itself. Nobody in conversation ever says, oh, that's a colloquialism. It just doesn't come up like that. Okay, 740-383-9944. Also, does anybody know anything about the pumpkin cream pies over at McDonald's? That is a very, very interesting new adaptation here in the Marion area. All right. Oh, I guess all around. They're probably sold all around the country. We've got a pumpkin fixation in the United States at this particular point. So, you just go with what the flow is. Okay, the other topics this morning that I wanted to broach on this particular program, let's see here. Oh, okay. Over the weekend, I was telling you about being out and about over the weekend, went to Delaware on Saturday. And to be honest with you, I went to a few places in Delaware. There are a few places I have never been, so I can talk about a few of these. And I've never been to this one in Marion either, so this was a whole new experience. I've never been to the Ree store, which I guess has to do with Habitat for Humanity, where you go in and you buy furniture and paint and things like that. I had never been into a Ree store, but I went into the Ree store in Delaware because the person I was with had to go in there. And, you know, I was shocked at the furniture that people have in there to sell. There was a lot of stuff. Now, I don't know if it's like that in Marion or not. I haven't been to the Marion one yet. I'm going to have to go into it. But just a lot of very nice furniture. And what I kept, clearly it's used, but I don't understand where that comes from. Because, you know, I guess you could get nice furniture donated to you, but how is it a continuous thing where you could keep the store open all the time? And this store was packed in Delaware. Where do the Reese stores get their furniture from? Does anybody know that? Because it was wall-to-wall furniture. They did have other things like microwaves and stoves and washers and dryers and things like that, but not a whole lot of those. You know, maybe one aisle, two aisles of those. The furniture, where does the furniture come from? Because it's my understanding to be in the restore that it has to be somewhat in good condition. I don't know. Does anybody know how the restore is stocked? Is it just donations, purely donations? Because I would not guess that donations from a city or town could keep that going furniture-wise for long distances. Or do they come in and go to houses maybe where somebody has passed away? I don't know. I don't know how the restore is done. Does anybody know about that? But we went to the restore, and then we went to a place over in Delaware, and I'll probably get the name of it wrong. It's called Warehouse 61. I think I kept calling it Area 61 on Saturday. But it's called Warehouse 61, and it's kind of like a flea market. But it's in an out-of-the-way place over in Delaware. You'd really have to know where it was or either really be looking for it. And it was kind of a throwback to an old flea market that you don't see so much anymore. And they have a lot of modern items now. Now, I don't want to say too modern because a flea market, how modern can a flea market be? But they had DVDs and VHS tapes and things like that, things you didn't used to see in flea markets. But they had all kinds of other stuff too, old toys and old vacuum cleaners and old radios, just things from items from a unique time. So that's Warehouse 61 over in Delaware. That was a fun visit. The only problem with Warehouse 61 is they closed at 4 o'clock on Saturday, and I did not know that. So we got there at like 3:50. So they didn't rush us. They said stay as long as you want, and we looked around records and things like that. But they were closing quick. Let's put it that way. Then we made our way over to, then we went to Polaris and did a couple stores there. Then we went back to Delaware and went to downtown Delaware for dinner. Now, this is what's interesting. Now, when you talk about downtown Marion versus downtown Delaware, I don't want to critique or criticize or do any of that. But here's the thing. Here is one of the differences that I have come up with between the two downtowns, walking around in downtown Delaware on Friday night or Saturday night. They have a gas station in downtown Delaware, which people can go to, and they have very famous, well, I'll tell you this. There were four restaurants. Now, this probably would have been after 5 o'clock on Saturday. Might have even been 6 or 7 o'clock. So it's, you know, later in the day. They had four restaurants in downtown Delaware. Now, there are far more than four restaurants. There are a ton of restaurants in downtown Delaware. But there are four restaurants in downtown Delaware that seem to be famous and destination points is what I want to say. Now, they have House of Thurman, which is all about the big hamburgers. They have Amato's, which is a very, I guess, well-known pizza place. Amato's was probably the busiest on Saturday night. There was a patio outside Amato's, and it was just packed with people. Then there was the Old Bag of Nails, which has an outside area, and just a ton of people outside the Old Bag of Nails on Saturday night. And then the Hamburger Inn, which has been there since 1932, which is a destination spot. Now, I have eaten at the House of Thurman. I ate there either earlier this year or late last year for the first time with the big hamburgers, and it's an interesting place to go in and a lot of interesting ambiance. But so we chose the Hamburger Inn on Saturday. And the Hamburger Inn is very good, but essentially it's just a hamburger place. And I was thinking, that's one of the differences between downtown Marion and downtown Delaware. I was thinking about the restaurants that are in downtown Marion. And I was thinking, do any of them deal in just like basic hamburgers? Because when you think about it on the grand scheme of things, if you think about it in the grand scheme of things, people like hamburgers, people like pizza. Those are probably the two most popular out-to-eat items. If you look at your McDonald's and your Burger Kings and your Wendy's and your Rallies, and then you look at your bazillion pizza places that we have here in Marion, I think you would have to say that, without question, pizza and burgers rule. Now, I'm not saying that we should not have other food. Of course we should. But it'd be nice maybe to have a burger joint, which essentially House of Thurman and Hamburger Inn are, and Amato's is essentially a pizza place. They have that in downtown Delaware. So if people want a good pizza or if people want a good hamburger, they can go downtown and get it. And none of these places have drive-thrus. It's not like you can drive through them. So why do you think that is? Why do you think there's a whole other issue with traffic, by the way, which downtown Marion has a problem with, and one-way streets, which I really don't want to get into those, the systemic reasons that they're different. But can you think of a place in downtown Marion that's just a burger joint or that's essentially just a pizza place? That surprised me, because those were the places that were the most packed. Now, Old Bag of Nails was doing a business, but I think it's because a lot of people were downtown because of Hamburger Inn and House of Thurman and Amato's. So, I think this might be a problem. Now, does anybody have any thoughts on this? If you're here in Marion, you might have some thoughts on this. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz, and we'll discuss it all. Go ahead, caller.
We used to have one. It was a courthouse pub, I believe. And they closed because of COVID. And then they just couldn't open back up.
Well, you know what I found, and it was my first time in the Hamburger Inn, is the, you know, I looked up on the, and I even made sure, I mentioned it on Facebook, and I made sure to mention the year, that they've been there since 1932.
Uh-huh.
So we're talking, you know, 80 years now, or 90 years, almost 90 years. And it's interesting to me, because that is pretty much a hamburger place. Now, you can get barbecue beef and you can get a BLT, but it's a hamburger shop.
Right.
And hamburgers and pizzas rule. People know that. That's why fast food places and pizza shops deal in these things. But there is not any that are in downtown Marion that people would consider a stop. People consider the Hamburger Inn and the House of Thurman stops.
No, that's true. You're right.
And like I say, they have a gas station down there. Matter of fact, you could not park close to these places, which is how busy downtown Delaware is on a Saturday night.
Delaware's parking is awful.
And the parking's bad, but we parked across from I think it was a BP gas station.
Okay.
You know, and I've always said that we don't have a gas station in downtown Marion.
No.
We don't have a pharmacy. We don't have a grocery store.
No, everything moved out.
Right, and I think that aside from the fact that 423 does not run through downtown Marion anymore, well, it does, but the 23 is really out on 95 now.
Right.
One of the reasons, aside from that downtown Marion has a problem is there are certain places that people go that are not specialty places, like gas stations, pharmacies, grocery stores, and pizza and hamburger places, I think would fall into that. And we don't have any of those.
No. Marion has a bad habit of eating out of town rather than supporting the restaurants that are here in town.
Well, you know the interesting thing? I was thinking, if I was going to... And I spend more time in Marion than in Delaware.
Right.
And I was thinking, if I was going to go to... If I was going to eat out on a Saturday night in Marion, I would probably most likely eat somewhere on Route 95. It wouldn't even occur to me to go downtown because right now there really aren't a whole lot of restaurants downtown.
No.
And if
I heard the warehouse is not opening.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I heard because of taxes.
Oh, he's in trouble again with that.
Which is, you know, too bad because we lost our... I mean, there's Sansoda's, but it's not like... Sansoda's isn't anything like what the warehouse was. And so we've lost our Italian restaurant. I don't know what the answer is.
Well, it's sad to me because I look down here. Now, Byrie's does seem to stay open, but I don't know. I don't know what the capacity of Byrie's is.
Not very. She doesn't have a lot of room.
Right. So even when they are busy, it's not a lot of people. And then I look at this. What's the new one that just opened where everybody likes the ribs?
Memphis. Something Memphis?
Yeah, the Memphis. Now, that seems to be a really busy place right now to where they've run out of ribs on Friday night.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, is that a niche item? You know, I don't know a lot of people who say, I'm going to eat ribs every night of the week.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that's what I've always wondered about downtown Marion. I see a lot of niche shops down here, and that's okay. But is there a pizza place down here? Is it just eluding my brain?
Not that I'm aware of. But
you know,
again, I mean, we did have the hamburger place, and their food was really, really good. They named all their burgers after, like, the jail and the everything in the courthouse. And it was, I mean, it was very unique. Plus, it had a full bar, which is, you know, when I go out and I look for a dinner place, I want to have a nice glass of wine.
Well, it's interesting to me because, and what's the other one we have down here? Is it the Courtyard?
That was the Courtyard Pub.
Oh, that was it?
Yeah.
Well,
and she closed.
Oh, was that the one where people used to eat outside?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I thought I saw pictures of that recently. Did they close recently?
Yes. We ran into the owner, and she said that they just can't open.
See, now here's the thing. Now that's weird because I remember on Facebook that there were just pictures and pictures and pictures of people sitting out in this alley and.
Oh no, that's that Brickyard.
Brickyard.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're talking about the Brickyard.
Now, do we know anything about that?
I don't know anything about that. I haven't been there.
Yeah, and I'm not even sure what does the Brickyard serve.
Don't know, Scott. Can't tell you.
Yeah. Well, it's strange because when I think of, and then there's the one, what's the one just up the road here? It's on the road we're on. I mean, you can get a hamburger there.
Attaboy's.
Attaboy's.
Yeah. They're the ones, I heard that they're the ones that own the Memphis.
Oh, so they've expanded.
That's what I've, if you can trust gossip, that's what I've heard.
Well, I mean, it's good if they're coming around that way, but I know.
Sorry for interrupting. I think I heard they're the ones that are also opening up the seafood place at the hotel.
Oh, well, I'll tell you what's interesting is, you know, I know somebody who works downtown here and right on this street, and, I'm not saying they never eat at these places, but I'll tell you where they go. They go to Main Street because you have Taco Bell, you have McDonald's, you have Rally's, you have Victor's Tacos, and not that it's better food or even anything like that. It's just quick. You don't have to get out of your car, and it's cheap.
Yeah.
And I think people on a half hour or an hour lunch break, that's an important fact.
Oh, sure, on a lunch break, absolutely.
So if you're trying to attract the businesses who don't have extended lunch periods in downtown Marion, or people who aren't running their own business, how does a business, a restaurant, expect somebody working at a half hour or an hour lunch to be able to order their food, pick it up, bring it back, eat it, with no drive through and no quickness?
Well,
we got problems to fix.
Yes, we do.
We do. But, you know, the hamburger...
You get on that.
Yeah, I'll tell you, the Hamburger Inn, I was just seriously impressed with. And what I was also impressed with, and this is another issue, is when I came back yesterday, I came back Saturday, but when I was out in the public yesterday, I was telling people that I ate at the Hamburger Inn for the first time, and even on Facebook, and I can't tell you how many people immediately said, "Did you try the cinnamon rolls?" So there are all these people, even in Marion, who know what is specialty over there at this Hamburger Inn.
The Hamburger Inn.
I don't think that people in Marion could say, well, what's the specialty of Byrie's? What's the specialty of the Brickyard? I don't think they would know.
No, I can't tell you.
Right. So, you know, it's interesting that way, but I guess when you're open since 1932, that happens.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
It's an interesting topic. If anybody has anything to say, give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. It's an interesting little thing. Does anybody have any feelings on downtown Marion versus downtown Delaware? Or have you been to that Hamburger Inn? Now, I did not have the cinnamon rolls, so apparently I was missing out. I just had a hamburger and some waffle fries. And they have about 18 different kind of fries. See, the fry question threw me in that particular conversation. Let's go to the phones. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott. I think what the town needs is a nice Chinese restaurant for, like, something for takeout. They get all the business around there, I'm sure. They're fast. People would walk in the town for Chinese because everybody's got to drive outside town to get Chinese food.
Well, you know, I do believe that still to this point that the House of Hunan stays pretty busy.
Uh-huh.
And it's been a pretty one-stop shop. Did the, because I don't know if buffets are allowed to be open. Did the Hong Kong buffet ever open back up?
I couldn't tell you. I think I heard rumor, but I'm not even talking set down. I'm talking just everything takeout. I mean, you would get the business in town. And you would get the walkers around town that used to eat in Chinese because they don't drive, or they don't want to drive all the way out on 95, or...
Well, yeah, downtown. Well, yeah, you know, I wonder how well... I mean, I think the Panda Express has continued to do well, and I think that Lee Gardens... I don't know how well they do. I've never really been in... I was there. I was at Lee Garden one time. But, yeah, if one of those were downtown, it certainly might help.
Right. I was actually in Lee Garden one time. There wasn't a seat available. That was before COVID. I'm like, wow, this place can't be that busy, but it was.
Yeah, and, you know, but it just shocked me, and I knew downtown Delaware was much busier than downtown Marion, but, you know, places like the House of Thurman and the Hamburger Inn, at least those two in general, they have reputations like the GNR. They have long-term specialty reputations.
Yeah, and people want to go and get it or go and try it. They've heard about it through a friend, you know, Facebook or somewhere.
Right, and they want to go in and they want to see what it's all. That's why I went there. You know, I would
right.
have. To me, honestly, I probably if there was no specialty restaurant, I might have chosen the Old Bag of Nails. But I thought
right.
I want to say I've been to the Hamburger Inn because I've never even
sure.
been inside the door, and.
Right on.
It was not bad.
Good deal. I got to get back to work.
Well, no, thanks for calling.
Take care, Scott.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right. Phone lines are open on this subject. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. It's a whole interesting thing. And food seems to drive the business. Now, I don't know if a pharmacy or a grocery store would... gas station. I think they might drive some business, but if you don't want to build in a certain area, what can you do? And they're not putting up a whole lot of new gas stations around. There for a while, we were seeing a lot of new drug stores, but That's the way it goes. Okay, so that was my instance at Hamburger Inn. There was a whole thing that happened at Hamburger Inn with me, though, that had to do with a barbecue beef sandwich. Now, I'm not going to tell that right now because we've only got 15 minutes left, but remind me about this tomorrow. Somebody tuck this away in their brain, and tomorrow I will have a little time between 8 and 9 to talk about this whole this whole barbecue beef incident, as it were. So stay tuned for that tomorrow. But somebody's going to have to remind me, because I'm sure I will lose my my note cards and everything else before this happens. Again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Okay, tomorrow morning, I do want to mention at 8:15, we will be joined by Marion Public Health Commissioner Tracy Kinsler. I know a lot of people like to know about this particular visit that goes on. So that's how it goes. Also, do want to remind people that Stewart's Root Beer is closing for the season this week. This is the final week. Saturday, I believe, is the last day. Saturday, October the 3rd, will be the final day for Stewart's Root Beer this season. And I believe Saturday, they're open 11 until 7. So if you want to get the Stewart's Root Beer, the floats, the hot dogs, the chicken, whatever else, Stewart's Root Beer, this will be the last week for the season. Then you'll have to wait till February or March of next year for those fixes, because they close this coming Saturday, October the 3rd. So there's that important announcement. Okay, the other thing I want to talk about, which is why I'm not going to talk about the barbecue beef today, is tomorrow's show. Now, as I say, we'll have Tracy Kinsler from the Marion Public Health Department on from 8:15 until about 8:30, and then we'll leave that half hour to talk about whatever. Remind me about the barbecue beef story, and maybe I'll tell that tomorrow, barbecue beef and the Hamburger Inn. But tomorrow morning, between 9:15 and 10 o'clock, we're going to be joined by Luke Rogers. Now, maybe you might not know who that is. Well, here is who that is. You know, strange things happen, and you don't realize how good some people are at something, and I think people should be recognized for doing good things. Now, Luke Rogers is, and I don't have the position in front of me, but he is one of the players for the River Valley football team. And it's my understanding, I saw a video of this, it's my understanding that last Friday night, and River Valley's on a roll this season, even though they did lose one game, I think 2 weeks ago to Ontario, they defeated Pleasant in that long-term rivalry 2 weeks ago, and last Friday night they defeated Marion Harding 41-7. 41-7, River Valley defeated Marion Harding. Now, why is this important for the purposes of this particular conversation? Luke scored, and I believe I have the statistics right, and we'll check this tomorrow. Luke scored 4 touchdowns in that game. Now, and again, I hope I have the statistics right on this, during the Pleasant game, I believe he scored 3 touchdowns. So, in the course of 2 weeks against 2 Marion teams, he has scored, What would that be? 7 touchdowns? 6 or 7 touchdowns. Now, to me, I don't know how you can get any better than that. And Pleasant is no easy team. And I don't know where Harding is in this. I don't want to say they're an easy team. But my goodness, either 6 or 7 touchdowns in the course of 2 weeks for Luke Rogers, who plays for River Valley. So Luke will be in tomorrow. He's a senior this year at River Valley, and we'll discuss a lot of things with him, certainly football, and how he got to be this good, and how that all happened. But now here's the kicker in this whole thing, is that his mother, of all, you know, this is one of those weird instances in life where things just happen. Abby Crowman, who has been on this show several times, hasn't been on in a while, but she's been here from time to time, is his mother. Now, I knew Luke before the football season, not well, but I had met him. I'd seen him at school a couple times. I saw him at his house one time. So, you know, I certainly knew who he was, and I certainly knew he played football, but I never knew that he was this good until I started getting reports from these games, from the River Valley games on Friday nights. And I've even talked to people other than his mother who say he's the best player on the team. Now, you hate to say that because I'm sure River Valley has a lot of great players, but it's my understanding, you know, you've got to have somebody who's just really, really good. And I guess Luke is that particular person over at River Valley. And you know what? I will tell you this. I was talking to somebody on Friday who has a nephew who plays for River Valley, and even he said that Luke was the best player. Now, I don't know how this all shakes out at the end of the season, player of the year, or how they do that. I know Faye Bank used to do something with that, but maybe the Marion Star still does. But if you did nothing, and there's still a little bit of the season left here, if you did nothing but score 6 to 7 touchdowns in the course of 2 games, I mean, what a star you are. I mean, that makes you a star in high school football without question. So I can't wait to have him in here, and it'll be a little surreal tomorrow because I have met him before, but we've never sat down and had a conversation. So tomorrow will be that conversation between 9 and 10. And it'll also be interesting to talk to him about what's going on in school these days, because River Valley, I think next week, is getting ready to go back 4 days amid this pandemic. But I'll tell you something interesting, and this is a true story, and I don't think she's listening, so this is certainly not for her benefit, but it is true. Now, what I want to say is, people are very braggadocious about their kids, and I think people should be braggadocious about their kids. Why shouldn't they? But I have known Abby for just about a year now, and I have a lot of fun kidding her, and we, you know, that's just the way it is. So, obviously she's had this kid, and obviously she knows that this kid, Luke, is very good at football. To be honest with you, I've never heard her, and maybe it's just me, maybe she brags to other people, but I've never heard her say to me, you know, he's great, he's a star, he's so good. She never did that. I heard that through other people. I heard that through scores being called in. I heard that from this guy whose nephew also plays for River Valley. I heard it from this third party who said he's the best player on the team, who has no reason to lie about it. They have no stake in this. I never heard it from her. And what that says to me, that's a very amazing trait in a mother, because certainly a mother would love to brag on their child, and I'm sure she does to some people, but she, even he, though he's that good and legitimately that good, she never phrased it that way. And I think that's a very unique trait, but she's a very unique person. So very good unique trait. So tomorrow morning, Luke will be in here. Now, I don't know where she'll be tomorrow. I'm sure she'll be listening. You know, that'll be one morning I'm sure that she's listening when her son is in here. So we know we will have an audience with Abby tomorrow. And that's just the way it goes. But I'm just so impressed. And to be honest with you, as I've said many times, football is not really the sport that I follow. I much prefer baseball. But you've got to be in touch. You've got to be impressed if you know what a touchdown is. And to be able to do what he's done in the last 2 weeks, and I'm not even sure what the stats were before that, but what a great player. What a great player, and what a great feel-good story this is for Marion amid this pandemic. That we can look at a kid and say, hey, doing great things, and probably going to go on to college and do some great things. So I really like this. I think this is... very important. So, there you are. All right. So, we are happy that Luke will be in here tomorrow. Luke Rogers from 9 until 10. Does anybody follow the games? Know anything about this? More than I do. You could fill me in here at this point with 5 minutes left to go. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And again, remember the Marion Tradition Stewart's Root Beer will be closing up this Saturday, October 3rd. They'll be open on Saturday, 11 until 7. And of course, they're open this week. I don't know what the... You better call ahead. This week being the last week, but I do know Saturday, Tuesday, well, okay, wait, I think I got the hours here. Today, 11 to 3. Monday, 11 to 3, they're open. Tuesday through Saturday, 11 to 7. So that'll be how they wrap up the season. Today, 11 to 3. Tuesday through Saturday, 11 to 7. And then Saturday concludes the big season at Stewart's Root Beer. And tomorrow morning, Tracy Kinsler from the Marion Public Health Department at 8:15, and Luke Rogers from the River Valley football team from 9:10 until 10 a.m. But good, good people. Oh, they're just, you know, running a little short-staffed at the end of the season, so that's why... It's only 11 to 3 today at Stewart's. But, again, Stewart's Root Beer closing up this Saturday for the season, 11 to 7. Tuesday through Saturday, 11 to 7 will be the hours as well. And Luke Rogers tomorrow. And, again, I really, on this particular one, and I can say this because I know she's not listening, Abby Croman being Luke's mother, Luke being on tomorrow from 9:10 till 10 a.m. Again, that many touchdowns in that amount of time. What a great story this is. And I really give her a lot of credit as a mother for not being... She's never bragged to me about him. Never. Never. She's bragged to me about a good kid, but never about his football skills. And apparently, he's got some skills. Like I say, 6 or 7 touchdowns in the last 2 games. You can't go wrong there. Which leads your team to victory. You got to score the points. If you can't score the points, you can't win the game. So, there you go. My Cubs cap will be off to Luke Rogers today and to his mother, Abby, who I'm sure will be listening tomorrow. I haven't seen her in quite a while. And Michelle, who is running Stewart's here, owner, I guess the employees have games in school and college, and of course, you know, and that's what happens as the season begins to end. School's back in. Fall sets in on us. So remember, Stewart's will not be open all day today, only 11 to 3. But Tuesday through Saturday, 11 to 7, Saturdays, it's over. October 3rd, the season comes to an end at Stewart's Root Beer. How interesting is that? We feed you the real news here. And I still do not have a pumpkin cream pie, which is new at McDonald's this particular season. Okay, we got about a minute left in the program today. Do want to remind everybody, Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam Lepp is on right after this show today from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Then, of course, we have Voice of the People with Linda Sims today, 4:10 to 5 p.m., and the Mike Wilson Show with guest Fred Malone, tonight from 5:10 until 6 p.m. So that's how it all shakes out today here on WWGH Radio. And tomorrow we have got Tracy Kinsler at 8:15 and Luke Rogers, star player for the River Valley football team, 9:10 until 10 a.m. How about that? Oh, and I heard something about a debate tomorrow night on, for some reason. I'm sure we'll start talking about that Wednesday morning. So stay tuned for more programs here on WWGH Radio. For this day, this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio, the talking place. For grandson of President Warren G. Harding, Jim Blessing.
And for the first time, I'm very happy to say, doing the first broadcast interview here in on a station after Warren G. Harding, just a quarter mile from the Harding